You know, it's quite a privilege to stand up here and bring a lesson. Quite a responsibility. And most of you already know I enjoy this. The problem Russ has is he always chooses the first of the month to leave, which is great because if you're going to preach on the topic of the month, you got all kinds of material out there that he hadn't preached on yet. But, you know, he asked us not to take all the material, so we won't be here all night. Because this is a topic that's easy and hard, and there's a lot to be found when you study this topic. It's talking about adding brotherly kindness or love. It's, you know, it sounds real easy. And, you know, we read in Romans 12:10, which is our memory verse this month, and I'm sure y'all, now that y'all heard it already, you've got it all memorized. You know, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, giving preference to one another. And, you know, when you hear that, it sounds pretty easy, right? I just have to like you, get along with you, and prefer you to other people. And, you know, for some people, that's pretty easy. And to have that feeling towards some people is pretty easy, but it takes effort to do it right. You know, and it comes from the word Philadelphia, which means kindness or friendship. And, you know, congregation like this, pretty friendly. We all seem to get along pretty good, so that shouldn't be one we have to work on too hard, right? I mean, we all get along pretty good. We don't have much problem with that. I mean, we're friends. We like each other. I mean, we see each other, at least the Sunday night crowd, probably three times a week, right? I mean, most of us are here on Wednesday night. And, you know, of all the virtues, it should be the easiest one to add to our character. It should appear to be, you know, right at first, it appears to be just come natural until you study it a little more. You know, but you really shouldn't jump to the conclusion it's always easy to show the kind of love God wants us to have towards our brothers. You know, God has pretty high expectations. What I might consider brotherly love might not measure up to his definition of the word. You know, brotherly kindness and love are not just acts that I do here at church or on occasion. Brotherly kindness has to be a way of life. That's why it's told to add to virtue. These are things that we're supposed to add to our life so they become a character of our life, not just something we do on occasion. After all, when I get here on Sunday, it's pretty easy to be nice to you, right? I'm only here for a little while. You're probably not going to do too much that irritates me before I go home, so it's pretty easy to be kind to you. But really, if you think about it, when you're only around people a few hours, it's pretty easy to get along with them. But it's not talking about that. It's talking about having this as a way of life. You know, the Bible teaches me that Christians must learn to have brotherly kindness towards others. It doesn't say, by the way, you're going to have this quality if you're a Christian. It says you got to add it to all the others. And it's something you got to learn how to do. You know, 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. If you're a Christian, how did God teach you to love one another? He sent his son to die for you, right? Christ came and died for me. It's pretty easy for me to know what love involves. All I got to do is look at Christ and what he did for me. But it's something I have to learn to do. I mean, it's not something that's real easy just to naturally walk like Christ, is it? So it takes effort. And, it, you know, brotherly love doesn't always come easy. Just to ask two brothers. I mean, I don't know about your family, but the one I grew up in and the one I raised, I didn't always see an expression of love between those brothers. Now, an outsider gang up on one of them, I see that. But between each other, they know just how to irritate each other. And the Old Testament is filled with examples of sibling rivalries. You know, you start out right off the first kids, Cain and Abel. You know, there's a problem. One of them does what God wants, gets praised. The other one doesn't. He gets mad. He thinks on it. He decides to get even with his brother. He didn't have much brotherly love, did he? Or you look at Joseph and his brothers. Now, I was an older brother, and I understand how they felt. There's nothing worse than a little brother that's always getting under your skin. You know, Joseph did that all the time. He'd have these dreams. He'd come tell them about it, get under their skin. They just didn't like Joseph. Plus, on top of that, he was Dad's favorite. He was about the baby of the family, you know. And so one day he's out. What do? They wanted to kill him. One of his brothers said, no, let's don't do that. Let's sell him off into slavery so we're not guilty of his blood. They're real loving brothers. They're going to get rid of their brother one way or the other because he's always causing trouble. And, of course, then you have David and his brothers. You know, here's this little run of a kid, the baby of the family. And here comes this priest. He comes along, this prophet, and he anoints him with oil, says he's going to be king. And you don't put a whole lot of faith in that. I mean, after all, he's your little brother. You know what a pain he is, you know, how he really is. But as he goes along, his dad sends him out to do something. He says, I want you to go check on your older brothers who are out there at the battlefront and see what's going on. Bring them some food. And Dad does starts asking these questions. He's getting under his brother's skin. His oldest brother says, what are you doing? You need to get home to care the sheep before they all get lost. That sounds just like an older brother. See, I can relate to that. And, of course, then you have the problems in David's family of Amar, Tamman, and you know, all three kids had the same dad. They had two different mothers. They're kind of like us. You know, we all have different mothers and fathers physically, at least most of us do. But we all have one brother, Christ. We all have one father for life, and that's God. And if we're not careful, we can get to be like these. We can start having problems because we think we know best how to handle when one of us does God's advice. You know, and the Bible tells us it's painful to see brothers quarreling. You know, when you're a parent, it is great when all the kids are getting along. And when they're not getting along, it's a headache. And you get upset. And you jump on them. You want them to be what they're supposed to be. Well, churches are the same way. You know, Proverbs 6 through 9, we have a list of seven things the Lord hates. And one of them, it says, it includes sowing discord. Now, you might ask yourself, well, what does that have to do with brotherly love? That's one of the things that takes away from brotherly love, is discord. And you think, well, you know, I'm not one of those people. I'm not trying to cause trouble at the church. I mean, I'm not trying to get us to do something wrong or always stirring up trouble. But, you know, it's not the people that are actively trying to cause trouble. It's the little things we do that can cause discord. And remember, God says he doesn't like discord. We don't have to be the ones like with Moses that go to Moses and complain about Moses being the leader and complain to everybody. We can just make small comments that we don't really think a whole lot about. You know, I really wish he was a better Bible class teacher. You know, he doesn't seem to be well prepared. He's kind of monotonous. You know, I really wish they wouldn't invite him to ask him to teach class. Instead of looking at it as, you know, he's really working hard to present material I need. And I need to put more into it so I can help him out. You know, there's nothing greater than being the Bible class teacher. And you kind of get hung up on a point and somebody saves you from that point. Or fills in your lack of knowledge. Or, you know, you say, you know, brother so-and-so, he sure leads a long prayer. I don't know why they're always getting him to lead a prayer. He is so long-winded. It's like another sermon. Instead of thinking, you know, he's up there pouring out his heart to God like I need to be, and I need to be listening to what he says, because he's got a lot of good stuff in there. But instead, you get to thinking about all the things that you don't like. The fact that it's taken a while and you're having to pay attention and your mind's wondering. Or, you know, the one that everybody loves is the preacher preaches too long. And my wife already told me, don't preach too long tonight. But, you know, you make comments and you don't just think about them yourself. You make them to somebody else in the church. And they get to thinking that way maybe. And pretty soon you sowed some discord without meaning to, really. It wasn't your goal when you set out. So with brotherly love, you have to think about what you say about and to each other. If it's not beneficial, what is it? If you don't have something good to say, don't say anything. You know, and sometimes you got to practice that. Because, you know, if you're a sibling, if you're unfortunate and an only child, you don't know this. But if you're a sibling, you know exactly where to place the needle to gig your brother. Now, you learn the hot buttons. You learn what aggravates people. And we don't want to be like that. You know, Psalms also says, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. You know, that's one of the things that I've really liked about this congregation, is we get along well. And we have a lot of unity here. And it sure is nice to go to church where everybody gets along. You know, when you walk in the door, you get a stranger like Adam here. You know, I noticed he didn't wear a coat and tie. I think he was afraid we'd ask him to preach, you know. But you come here, maybe you're a new visitor. And the thing is, people are going to greet you. People are going to extend brotherly love here. And that's what we all have to work on. I wonder, and I'm guilty as anyone, I have my places I sit here in the pew. I used to sit in a certain spot. I got crowded out. So now we move around just a little bit. Now, Mark and Elaine, they move around quite a bit. But, you know, if you had a seating chart, you got here Sunday morning and said, you're in pew 3 on that side, would you know the people you sat around? Would you really know anything about them? I mean, the ones I sit around, I kind of get to know. I hear them talking and, you know, find out a few things about them. But do I really know the rest of the congregation? That's part of what brotherly love is all about, is trying to get to know everybody we worship together with. But brothers don't always see eye to eye. So how do we resolve those differences of opinion? We're not talking about scriptural differences. We're just talking about how I think things are versus how you think things ought to be done. Well, you know, if you look in the Bible, in Acts 15, 36 through 40, it's talking about Paul says, you know, we need to go back and visit all those churches that we went on our first missionary journey. We need to strengthen them. And Barnabas, you know, we did a lot of good work. I want you to go with me. And Barnabas said, hey, that sounds like a good idea to me. And I want to take John Mark with us again. I think he's ready. And Paul said, there ain't no way. Look, he was discouragement to us last time. He didn't stay with us but a few weeks, and he went home to mom. I'm not putting up with that this time. Well, they could have both gotten mad at each other because they couldn't agree, and they both could have stayed home. But they didn't. Paul gathered up some people, and he went and did what he thought needed to be done, visiting those other churches and going to some new ones. And you know what? Barnabas took John Mark and went off and did work in another part of the world. And old John Mark, he turned out to be a pretty good preacher after all. But they didn't let their differences of opinion about somebody keep them both from doing God's work. You know, he didn't get mad and say, well, you just go, Paul, I'm staying here. Barnabas said, that's what you want to do, and I'll do what I want to do. We're both going to serve God, and that's what we have to do. You know, in Romans 14, 20 through 21, it talks about brother. And how we deal with someone that's not as strong as I am. Or how you deal with me if I'm not as strong as you are. You know, here it's talking about the eating of meats. It says, do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean. It is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat, drink wine, or do anything that brother to stumble. You know, it's taking into account that everybody doesn't believe everything we do. Now, we don't have a whole lot of problems with this eating of meats because we don't have an idolatrous society that practices animal sacrifices and we don't buy our meat at that market. But we have something called Christmas coming up here at the end of the year. It's a big national holiday and some people celebrate it, some people don't. And if I know that you don't celebrate it, but I invite you over to my house for a party that's themed after that, and I don't tell you that's what it's about, and I already know how you feel about it, but I invite you anyway, then I'm doing exactly what he's talking about. I might cause you to stumble. I might cause you to do something there you wouldn't feel comfortable doing. and that causes you to sin. And it's my fault. So now I'm guilty of that. And so sometimes we have to stop and think about what we're doing and how it's going to affect other people. It's not important to me, one way or the other, but it can be important to that person. And so we need to take that into account sometimes when we're dealing with people. You know, you convert somebody out of the world that comes from the Eastern religions where they believe in reincarnation and stuff. And they don't eat meats. They have their reasons because they were raised that way. And you invite them over and you try to serve them a good steak, and they'll be pretty offended. And if you know that ahead of time and you invite them, then that's a problem. That's not a problem if you don't know about it and it happens. Then you know in the future not to do that. But there are things that happen that we have to take into account of. And so we need to be aware of that when we're dealing with our brothers. So we brotherly love each other. So how do I show brotherly love? Well, 1 Corinthians 12:25 says, if one member suffers, we all suffer together. And if one member is honored, we all are honored together. You know, we know about that. We have a number of members that are suffering, going through some serious illnesses and facing some surgeries. And we should feel for them. We should pray for them. We should try to understand them. And, you know, when somebody gets an honor, gets a promotion, whatever, we should feel great for them. We shouldn't be jealous because they got recognized or something. We should really, truly express our feelings for people. Let people know we're praying for them. Let people know we're thinking about them. In Galatians, Paul said, brothers, if anyone's caught up in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness and keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted and bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If we see somebody that's starting to slide, starting to have problems in their lives, we need to go talk to them humbly and not attitude. I don't know if you've had that problem. I've never had that problem. I don't understand it. Instead, we need to understand that we have our problems too. It says, you know, do it humbly, do it right. Don't stand up so straight you fall over backwards with your own problems. We need to help each other get to heaven. You know, the idea of a church is for us all work together, not only to be lights to the lost, but to hold each other up so that none of us fall. So when we're weak, we have somebody to lean on. And we need to talk to people and let them know that we feel for them. You know, it's not enough if somebody comes forward and asks for the prayers that one time to tell them you're thinking about them. Tell them you're concerned and you're praying about them. They need to know. Maybe you've gone through some of the same things in your life. You can be a better encouragement than somebody else. That's how we bear each other's burdens. You've got to let me help, but I've got to be willing to help. In Galatians 6:9-10, he said, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not give up. So then as you have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are the household of faith. Now, you think, well, how can you grow weary of doing good? I mean, that shouldn't be a hard thing to do. But God warns us it can be. You know, it's not taking time to check on somebody. It's not taking time out of your busy schedule to do something good for someone. It's because you've grown weary of doing good. You don't think of it that way, but that's kind of how God looks at it. He says, do it to everyone. Be nice, be kind to everyone, but especially your brothers. Think about them. Brothers stand up for one another in times of troubles. You know, in Hebrews, it talks about them. Sometimes their spouses were in prison. They remembered the people in prison that are going through their persecutions. We need to think about people going through trouble and be there and stand up for them. We need to show brotherly love by entertaining strangers, it says. It says sometimes you're entertaining angels. And, you know, If you come here and Rose and Royce are here, you're not going to get away without them introducing themselves. I can guarantee you that. And more of us need to be like that. And brothers also stand up to each other when necessary. Sometimes people need a little correction. You know, Galatians 2, Paul and Peter, you know, they were eating Gentile Christians and doing everything till Peter felt a little peer pressure from his peers. And then it wasn't quite the same thing. You know, he didn't feel right. Kind of felt tired. And Paul just said, Peter, what are you thinking about? We already agreed that there's nothing wrong with this. Why aren't you doing what you're supposed to be doing? You know, and it's hard for us to relate to that because we didn't grow up in that society. But, you know, it could be as simple as me being out with some people, and I run into you somewhere, and I know you always talk about the Bible to everybody you run into. So I just, I really don't want you talking to these people because they're gonna put me in that same category. I don't want to be in that category. And so I don't bother to introduce you. I go out of my way to avoid you, in fact. You know, sometimes we don't think about how we come across to people. But Paul said, am I your enemy when I tell you the truth? You know, if I'm having a problem and you come talk to me about it, then my attitude isn't, well, we're right, you have to tell me that. My attitude is supposed to be appreciative and loving for that. That's what brotherly love is all about. Matthew 18, 15 through 22, it says, brothers ought to forgive one another, encourage each other. If somebody says or does something that upsets you, your obligation is to forgive them, to help encourage each other. Not to go around with a chip on your shoulder because somebody didn't talk to you or somebody said something you took the wrong way. We have obligations to each other. That's what brotherly love is all about. And so what must I do? You know, Peter said in 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23, to purify my soul. He said, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth and a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. First, you've got to start with a pure heart. And you know how we get a pure heart? We obey the gospel, right? We're washed white as snow. And then we go out and hit life's. Sometimes we've got to ask the church for prayers, for forgiveness. All of us have to ask God for forgiveness because we fail him in so many ways. First, we start with a pure heart. That's how we have brotherly love. We have to love everyone. 1 John 3, 12 through 17 says, love one another as Christ loved me. And remember, he died for me. That's how much he loved me. That's how you love everyone. You think about the Master and what he did for you. Let brotherly love continue in Hebrews 13 and 1. You let it continue even when it's hard. You know, sometimes you get people in a congregation, they're kind of hard to get to know. Come, you speak to them, they just kind of ignore you. And, you know, pretty soon it'd be pretty easy to quit speaking to them. But I guarantee if you keep speaking to them, eventually they're going to react on them. Some people just take a little longer to get to know. Even when it's difficult, brotherly love. And then you have to love God. In 1 John 4, 20. 21, he says, if anyone hates his brother, he's a liar. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. And that's a commandment. You know, it's not an option. I don't get to pick and choose. You know, I like old brother Mark over here. You know, he's a pretty good guy. Boy, you know, I really have time with David Bickley, you know. I don't see how I can love him. No, you don't have any choice in the matter. Even if I didn't really like him, I still have to love him, you know. I mean, some people don't have any problems with this. They can love everybody. Other people have to really work at it. But there are some people you got to work at to love. Some of us are more prickly, like a porcupine. It's kind of hard to get your arms around them, you know? But we all have to work at it. That's what has unity and purpose in our church. What makes us a loving church is when we have brotherly love for everyone, not just our favorite people. Not just the ones we sit next to in the pews, You know, people are just creatures of habits. The Chinese curse is, may you have interesting days, you know. And I guarantee you, if we had a seating chart and I had to sit somewhere else, we'd be uncomfortable. Because it would. I wouldn't be able to see the screen right, you know, or whatever. Habit. Let's make brotherly love one of those habits. You know, if you're not a Christian, we're fixing to sing a song of invitation. They'll give you an opportunity to express your belief that Christ is the Son of God, to repent of your sins and be baptized, and to purify that heart. Or if you're a Christian that's lost his way, and you need the prayers of the congregation, you have that opportunity. Or if you're just someone that needs the prayers of the congregation, we give you that opportunity as we stand and sing tonight.